Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we're streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. We'll hear from Mike Vrabel. He will speak with the media at 11:45. We'll also hear from Will Levis at noon, so we will carry both of those press conferences live and in their entirety. Willie D is back from Chicago. D Mace got a new gig at MTSU.
Absolutely.
Kidding.
No,
different Derek Mason.
Exactly.
The but two have been confused before.
Absolutely.
I've witnessed it.
I asked
sure.
D Mace, how many texts have you gotten in the last 24 hours
I've
congratulating
them,
you
yeah.
on your new gig?
A few of them. So, but congratulations to Coach Mason once again. I got a chance to speak with them briefly while Chase and Big Joe were. Had him on their show, the last segment. So congratulations to him. You know, he has some big shoes to fill.
Yeah.
With Coach Stockstill, legendary coach there at MTSU. But I'm sure he's up for the job, and he's going to get that program back to where Coach had it at one point in time. So congratulations to him.
And congratulations to MTSU.
Exactly.
On a great hire.
Absolutely. Local guy, and they didn't have to go far.
Yeah.
To get him.
I'm curious to see how he does there because he's been all over the country at top programs and he's spread himself around to the different Power Five leagues. And so now heading up a program where MTSU is, he brings a lot to the table. Mm-hmm. I've always been a huge fan of his. And so I hope he does well. I'm now becoming an MTSU fan. Yeah.
Blue Raiders. And congratulations to the Pret.
Yes.
They
what
ended up getting
win.
The win
fun
at the
last
end
night.
In overtime. So congratulations to them. They needed it. They needed it. So, you know, hopefully this can start another heater for them.
Yeah. 8 out of 10 they've won. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, they've been pretty consistent in a real grind of the schedule, 10 games in 18 days, and they've gone 8-2. And there's more coming. They're right back at it tomorrow against Tampa Bay, and then back-to-back over the weekend. Then Philadelphia on Tuesday. Then after that, that will be the first two-day break in almost a month.
Ooh.
So it has
they
been.
Need it.
Yes.
They
could. Yeah, they're going to have to earn this break, but they're playing
sure,
well.
You need it as well.
I need it as well. There's no question. There's no question. There was a lot of drama over the weekend. Two very tight wins, but two good road wins.
Mm-hmm. And we'll get more into that. We'll also get more into the Tyson Berry situation, what Barry Trotz had to say on Stillman & Company yesterday. Some pretty
that was good stuff.
Strong words from Barry Trotz. We will get into that, what that means for Tyson Berry and his future in this Nashville Predators decor. We will get into all of that. But I want to start here with new grandfather Teron Davenport's most recent article on ESPN.com. Now, this is something that he mentioned to us in our weekly visit with him on Monday. I was asking him about the relationship between Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel and Amy Adams Strunk, and he said, you'll learn probably a little bit more once my piece comes out on ESPN.com. And it did. It shed, at least not necessarily shed light on, but at least a few things stuck out to me in TD's most recent piece on ESPN.com. The headline is How Titans, Vrabel, and Carthon Are Navigating the Season, which, of course, has been a hot topic of conversation for us throughout the entirety of the season, even going back to when Rand Carthon was first hired. A couple things that stood out to me. First and foremost, Mike Vrabel spoke with TD, and he said, talking about their relationship, and Rand said, hey, I start every single morning. I walk into Mike's office. We talk about what's going on with the day, which I didn't we kind of think that was probably the case, at least, that they're pretty close to constant communication.
Well,
but
I would
the
hope
outside
so.
Perception was not the case.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
And so I think it's good to get confirmation of that, right? Because I think other articles would paint the picture of one's in one office and one's in the other office, and they're not talking. So I don't think people take that for granted, so I'm glad that's in there.
Yes, I would agree. And Mike Vrabel said, I'm not sure that we haven't had a conflict or anything. That's fine.
Yeah.
You're going to have conflict. You probably should have conflict if everything was all peachy. Mm-hmm. I might have a few concerns about, maybe who's, really speaking their opinion. Maybe who's maybe a little bit of a yes man. You should have conflict, but the important thing is, how do you navigate that conflict? That may have been something that stood out to Titans fans now that we are all hyper-vigilant of this relationship between Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel after the Bedard report, after the Diana Russini and Ian Rappaport reports about Will Levis starting, how there were questions about their relationship that has come up. But that piece to me, that little nugget about, hey, look, we haven't not had a conflict, I think that's fine.
Yeah, it is. I mean, in a working relationship, or any relationship for that matter, there's going to be a period or a moment where there is some conflict. It's just, how do you resolve that conflict? And how do you do it respectfully? Or how do you agree on a particular player without blowing up the whole relationship? You know, there are going to be things we agree and disagree about. But ultimately, is it for the betterment of the team? If it's for the betterment of the team, then you know, okay, let's get it done. And it seems like both guys, Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel, they just want to do what's best for the team. And, you know, obviously it didn't work this past season, whatever it was. But, you know, that's why you got an off season to try to, you know, turn this roster around. And what did they have last year? It was, 50-something or close to 50-something percent of their roster was turnover. Mm-hmm. It may be that and some for the next season. So these two guys are going to have to really be on the same page. You don't always have to agree, but you got to be on the same page in where you want this franchise to go.
I think there's a lot of good stuff in here. And you compare that with unnamed sources, no quotes from the article we dissected a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And so this is one I really put a lot of stock in as to the detail that you're seeing. And one thing that strikes me in this is we got to remember, this is a new relationship, right? This is a young, first-time general manager who's come in. There's a quote in here that I really like from Rand Carthon. And this is what every general manager should do, right, in any sport. I'm trying to find players that will excel in a Mike Vrabel system. Mm-hmm. That's what you're trying to do. Get Mike Vrabel the players he needs to do well in his system. So I think we have to know that they're still getting to know each other. And they're not everything that they've done has worked, obviously. And Rand Carthon, we also have to remember, has come into a situation where the roster was at a tough stage, right? You had some aging stars, tough calls on salary caps, some weak drafts coming up through the ranks before he got there. Mm-hmm. And it's put a strain on where the team is.
Oh,
and that's
course.
A challenge for a new GM.
Well,
and a coach, right? So it's right for
a new role.
Conflicts and disagreements and how you try to get through these tough decisions.
Especially after, you fire a GM – in the middle of the season, and then you and, whoever the de facto GM is, y'all got to continue this for the remainder of the season, and then the owner goes out and get another GM, a new GM. So y'all got to find ways to work. That's why it was really, it was critical or interesting to hear what Rand Carthon had to say when he first got hired. And we remember the question was asked about Ryan Tannehill. Mm-hmm. And we know that Mike Vrabel already had his thoughts on Ryan Tannehill they had already evaluated, obviously, because he had been here for years. But Rand said, basically, I'm not making any determinations until I watch film, until I evaluate the quarterback. And I'm sure once he went back and evaluated the quarterback, spoke with Mike Vrabel, they both decided that keeping Ryan Tannehill was the best thing for this organization last year. I mean, this season that is going on. And I'm sure he will have more say, I believe, this go around because he's had a full year to evaluate the roster. Mm-hmm. Now he can truly get a sense of what type of players I need to get for my head coach. I need to go out and find those players. Not the players that I think he should have. No, the players that he wants for his system. I need to find the best players. And I'm sure that's what he will try to do this upcoming offseason.
The second thing that stood out to me, kind of aligned with the conversation that you and I were having yesterday, mm-hmm. D-Mace, before you hopped on, Billy, when you were at Predators Morning Skate, and it was along the lines of, how much involvement does Amy Adams Strunk really have? We were talking about whose decision was it to fire Craig Aukerman. I hoped that it was Mike Vrabel's decision, but we discussed how we kind of thought it was an owner push, if not an entirely owner-motivated decision, just given Mike Vrabel's history. The fact that Mike Vrabel has never fired an assistant coach in the middle of the season, even if circumstances may have warranted firing a coordinator in the middle of the season, looking at you, Todd Downing. So we thought that there was maybe some influence from Amy Adams Strunk there. So this was the second thing in TD's article. Again, this is TD's article on ESPN.com. Headline is How Titans Vrabel and Carthon Are Navigating This Season. TD writes, Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel are in constant communication with Adams Strunk down to the most minute details, like who's traveling to away games and who isn't. Rand Carthon says, I'm not an ego person, so I don't care about control. Who has the final say? That creates dissension. Miss Amy trusts us to do our job. Does Amy Adams Strunk need to be involved in the most minute details? Like, does she need to know who's traveling and who's not?
I mean, it's her team. That's when you, because the travel is finance. You know, it's her money and, you know, it's her team. And if it's my team and my funds, then I would like to know who's traveling. I don't want to say in who's traveling, but I would like to know who's on my plane when it takes off. So if anything happens, it won't be a surprise to me. Like, just like it's like anything. As a parent, you know, you're taking somebody else's kid. They should want to know where their kid is going, who they're going with, because if anything happens, they know, well, my kid was with that person. And I know it ain't apples to apples, mm-hmm. but again, it's her team, and she should know who's on the plane. She's not asking about who's active and who's not active, who's
going to
play, who's not going to play.
She is or not.
Well, but I'm just basing it upon the article when, you know, as far as guys traveling, who's not traveling. I'm sure her dad was the same way. I'm sure every owner in the National Football League has to get a manifesto of, you know, things going on, right, and people on their plane. They're the one that's written out this plane. So they got to have the information. Now, it may go deeper than that. I don't know. But I'm just looking at it from a guy that was in that, you know, mm-hmm. in a position as a player. And know who comes on and who comes off. Like, half the time, players like, who is that person back there? Like, why are they on a plane? But the owner knows who it is. They're not getting on a plane unless the owner knows who's on my plane.
Boy, that does happen, right?
Exactly.
You see a person like, that's not normally on there, like, who is that? That half the time you find out it's a very important person.
Absolutely,
like, you
yeah.
don't know who he is, but they sure do know who he is.
Who do you know here?
I know the owner. Okay, good enough for me.
Touche.
I don't think any of us will really know, you know, short of somebody really digging in and doing an investigative report of how it works. Because mm-hmm. I would expect Mike Vrabel and Rand Carthon to say, they call her Miss Amy. You know, mm-hmm. she's allowing us to do our job. They're going to say that either way. They have to
they
say
have
that
to say
for
it.
Sure. But I don't get the feel that she's in there every day saying what's going on at cornerback and mm-hmm. you know, why can't we get the offensive line right. I don't take her for that usually. I mean, She's not in the office every day, right?
And I wouldn't think so either. But the fact that in this piece from TD, it says that they are in constant communication with Amy Adams Strunk down to the most minute details. Was she that involved when John Robinson was the general manager? I don't know the answer to that.
I mean, my thing with that is maybe she was. Maybe she wasn't. I don't know. But
I feel like I've talked about Amy Adams Strunk and her involvement in this team more in the last couple of months than I have in all of my 3 years in Nashville.
Well, I think rightfully so because of, you know, how it ended with the last GM. And now you got a new GM, first-time GM coming in. And, you know, it sort of went out of the order of what it usually goes. You usually hire your GM and then your head coach. So, yeah, we have questions. Yeah, we're going to talk about it. But I don't think – I think if we were in any other market and this happened, and this happened, I think we would be talking about it just as much.
I think you made the best point, though, Derek. There's a difference between keeping the owner in the loop on everything – and the owner coming in there and saying, here's who I want at left guard, you know? Now, in an extreme situation like Sunday, where you had the major breakdown in special teams, it's human nature maybe for the owner to pick up the phone and say, what the heck is going on
with special teams,
right? I mean, that's just how it should work. A passionate person who's got a lot invested is going to want to know what's going on. But I think, generally speaking, I would not misinterpret everything is communicated down to the last detail as, well, Amy Adams Strunk is a real controlling owner. I think that's just good business, right? Keep the owner in the loop so there's no, like you said, no big surprises.
Exactly.
I don't know. I go back and forth with it. Because I go back and forth between, look, if Amy wanted Craig Aukerman gone, I don't blame her. Because she watched the same disaster on Sunday that we watched. But also, a part of me has to look at it and think, but does that make the team better? Was that the right decision? Because I understand it. I totally understand her wanting a change made. And I think Sunday warranted a change at special teams coordinator. And I totally understand an owner that has billions, with a B, billions of dollars invested within a team and an organization to have as much information about the team as possible. That she can make whatever decisions she wants to make. She's the owner. Hello. Yeah, she can make whatever decisions she wants. But is that a good thing? Because we've seen some owners get too involved in teams, and it hurts the dynamic of the team. It hurts the dynamic of leadership.
Yes, it does in some situations, but I don't think in this situation that would be the case. This is not something that, you know, I'm sure, you know, when John was GM, he, whatever was done, he let her know, like, because it's your team, I'm going to let you know, even though you trust me to do the job, you know, to do a good job. You hired me to do a job and you trust that I'm going to do that job. But in doing that job, I do still have the responsibility to let you know what's going on with your team. You may not even care, you know, about some of the things that I have to tell you. But at least I can say, I told you this. Nothing was ever a surprise. Now, you may not have a say in a coach or a specific player, but at least I'm giving you that information so you can have. So if anything ever comes up, you can always refer back to, okay, at the time John gave me the information, I have it, or now Rand and Mike have given me the information, so now I have it. I may not do nothing with the information, but at least I have it. That's good enough for me. And I think that's good business, isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't it?
That's how you should. It's a good relationship.
Exactly. It's a good relationship. It's like me building. If we were to build a house and from scratch, let me know everything. I may not have a say. Like, you know, I may not say, well, that needs to be, or you need to redo that. No. But at least let me know. So when I do come and make a visit, I will know, okay, I see what you're talking about over there. I see that right there. Okay, that's a good place. You said you were going to put it there. You understand what's going on. You ain't just walking in the house and like, I didn't know you were going to do this. I didn't know you were going to do that. Oh, that's there. I didn't. No, it's you told me. I know. I'm good.
And that's why we're all curious on how it went down with the special teams.
Exactly.
Coach. Yeah. this is a fun side note based on our conversation the other day in the hour leading up where I was presenting the numbers and smoke was coming off my computer because of the text line blowing up when I was saying they were ninth in overall special teams going into the game.
Text line didn't like that.
And Aaron Schatz, they've gone from ninth to 26th.
We said that because you said, you know, before Sunday, this is what it was. Before maybe
Sunday.
They might move to 12 or 13. 26.
Well, no, I knew it would go down, but I didn't. But that shows you how extreme the difference in the game was in Sunday.
And that shows you how important special teams are.
Oh, yeah. And so I guess in the argument, right, I was trying to be fair and lay out how bad has it been. And we debated it, obviously, a lot. The decisions made, and then I see the number change there. So in an extreme situation, that's not your everyday business. So if she called in and said, the what's going on call, that's what we called it the other day. They, what's going on with special teams? What are we doing? What are we going to do? That's an extreme situation. That may not be the daily, weekly practice, even with the team struggling. That's just my thought on it. I don't know what happens or doesn't happen.
That's what I think is important is what was the dynamic like before Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel? Was John Robinson in as much communication, in TD's piece, constant communication about minute details? Was John Robinson having those kinds of conversations with the man I'm struck? And I don't know. And of course the owner has to be involved in decision making. Like, hey, I think we're going to trade A.J. Brown. Like, Amy Adams Strzok needs to know that. Like, hey, I think we might trade up in the second round to take a quarterback. Amy Adams Strzok needs to know that. We're going to trade Kevin Byard. Things like that. Like, Amy Adams Strzok needs to be up to date on the massive news of the team. But when it's, hey, I think we're going to travel Sean Murphy Bunting over Roger McCreary. And not that would happen, but I'm just saying, like, a hypothetical situation. Or, hey, we're gonna elevate this inside linebacker off the practice squad. Is that what's being communicated to Amy Adams Strunk? Does that need to be communicated to Amy Adams Strunk?
If I were her, I don't think I'd want to know every move on the practice
care.
Squad.
I don't think I would care.
But I'm looking at it from a financial standpoint. It's my team. When you elevate him from the practice squad to the active roster, that means more money I got to pay him. I'm not asking. Don't tell me if he's going to play or not. If you want to, that's up to you. But when you grab one guy from a practice squad that I'm paying, you know, five figures or low six figures, and then you put him on an active squad, now I'm paying him, you know, mid six figures, I need to know about that as an owner. I want to know that you elevated. Again, I'm not asking about him playing, but just let me know. Because I think we're looking at it solely from a sports perspective, like just sports, like strictly sports, like guys out there playing and schematics and all that other stuff. That's how we're, and there's nothing wrong with looking at it from that standpoint. But I am sort of looking at it from the lens of a business. Like, this person, I'm going to have to pay him more. So he's being elevated from this to that. Let me know. I don't need to know if he's playing or not. But that's a financial obligation that I have now. So I need to know what's going on. So, yes, that's minute. Yes, small. But in the big picture, she should know about that, you know, from a financial standpoint, not from a personnel standpoint.
And I think the big thing for me, the key question for me, in my opinion, is that new? Is that a change? And does Amy Adams Strunk feel this need to, for lack of a better word, almost babysit in this new era of Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel that she didn't have to do before? And maybe she did. Maybe she was as involved with John Robinson as the general manager as she is now. But that's the key question to me. And that's where we're starting today. So we'll continue the conversation coming up next. And owner involvement. Is it a bad thing? We talked to Tim Hasselbeck about that yesterday, what Tim Hasselbeck had to say. And, of course, we'll get into your thoughts on this as well. Breaking down TD's most recent article on ESPN.com. We'll get your thoughts on that. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Mike Vrabel in 30 minutes. Caroline Willie, D. Mace, 1025-1063 The Game. Caroline Willie, D. Mace, 1025-1063 The Game and The Game Nashville. We'll hear from Mike Vrabel in 15 minutes. We're now breaking down TD's article in ESPN.com, a couple of things that stood out to me. One in particular, which kind of aligned with a conversation D-Mace and I were having yesterday about Amy Adams Strunk's involvement in firing Craig Aukerman, which brings up a bigger question about what is Amy Adams Strunk's involvement in the day-to-day of the team. TD writes, Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel are in constant communication with Amy Adams Strunk, down to the most minute details, like who is traveling to away games and who isn't. And look, the owner needs to be involved in decision-making, but what is almost too involved? And is owner involvement a bad thing? We'll get into your phones on this. Your thoughts, our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Brian is on the line with a thought on the Titans front office. What's up, Brian?
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I think John, she didn't, I don't think she really, she let John Robinson pretty much run the team on his own. But pretty much after that A.J. Brown debacle, to me, I think she probably told him, I don't care if you eat a French fry, I need to know what's going on.
So, I need to know if it's McDonald's or Burger King.
Yeah, I don't care what it is. Crystals, I need to know what's cracking. So that's the way I looked at it, you know what I'm saying? So. I want to know y'all input on that.
Yeah, thank you for your call, Brian.
That's a great question. Did she change a little bit after she let go of John Robinson and want to be engaged a little bit more? It's a great question.
Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, look at it from this standpoint, okay? Let's just say that decision was the catalyst for her now being a little bit more involved. Because she probably, let's just say she wasn't as involved. Mm-hmm. Before the AJ trade. And then John comes to her and say, listen, this is what we're thinking. We got this kid out of Arkansas. He's a, you know, a clone of AJ Brown,
younger.
We
cheaper.
Don't have to pay him as much. We could still get the same production. And she probably looked at the numbers and were like, yeah, okay. I understand what you're saying.
I trust you.
Exactly. And never, I don't want to say understand because that would lead many to believe she don't know what's going on with her team. But I think there's a difference when you know, like you know exactly everything that's going on and you know that, nah, we're going to keep AJ Brown. Mm-hmm. I understand what you're saying, but we're going to keep him. But maybe she was sort of out of it enough where she just trusted John and said, listen, okay, I trust you. If you say this is what's going to happen or, you know, we'll be better off this way, then okay. But then she saw after that they were not. And she probably was like, you know what? I'm not doing that no more. Uh-huh. Now from here on out, again, we don't know if that was the case. But you can venture to say after that happened, she said no more. Let me know.
That's kind of what it feels like to me, in my opinion, mm-hmm. that she has taken on more – no pun intended, mm-hmm. ownership uh-huh. of some
of
her the day-to-day decisions. That it does feel like she is more involved now, in my opinion, mm-hmm. than she was maybe when John Robinson was the general manager.
I don't know. Again, I don't know. I think she, maybe after that trade, she wanted to know what else, like she wanted to know what's going on with her team, like everything. Mm-hmm. But I'm not sure because if this team was 8-4 instead of 4-8, would we still be having these questions? You know?
No.
Like,
but when
if
you're
there
losing.
Were, when it's, yeah, when you're losing and then things, you know, you're trying to figure out, well, why are they losing? You know, why isn't the coaching staff, you know, able to get these guys to play? Mm-hmm. Where does the owner fit in here? Because look at the roster. This needs to be an improved roster next year. How does the owner fit in regards to what they want to do on a daily basis? So if they're not losing, we don't know this, and we don't even care about it.
Yeah, but now that they're credit, losing, who exactly. cares who gets the credit? Just yeah. keep winning.
Exactly. So I think now because they're losing, I think her name has been inserted in a lot of things because we don't know. Mm-hmm. You know, we frankly don't know who's running the team. We don't know if it's Vrabel. We don't know if it's Rand Carthon. We don't know if Amy's at the top just, you know, orchestrating everything. We don't know. That's why we're asking the questions. And again, you know, TD's article was great. He gave uh-huh. us sort of an insight, but I think we're still wondering, like in certain situations, you know, is it really, is she really like the day-to-day stuff, like everything, or is it just certain things?
Like, well, what color Gatorade are we drinking today?
Well, another good example that Teron has in here is the lead up to the Kevin Byard trade. Yeah. And that had a little bit, that I didn't read much about Amy Adams Strunk's role in that.
Yeah, wasn't
but it
much
sounded like
that.
It was a good conversation process between Carthon and Vrabel, which again leads you to believe they're working together. Right? Not the perception that was thrown out there by that goofball Bedard and his dream of getting Vrabel to New England, right? The perception he was trying to create that that's not his guy, et cetera. That sounded like two guys on the same page to make a very, very difficult decision. And it goes on to say, you
that
know, the same thing with Henry,
well.
Right? Here are the phone calls we're getting. What do we do? Let's talk to Derek. You know, that seemed like it went very smoothly how it should have gone.
I would agree. And when it comes to Amy Adams Strunk and her involvement, this is what ultimately why I think it matters. I don't know how qualified any owner in the league is, not just Amy Adams Strunk, but any owner in the league is to be super involved in decision making and to have veto power. Like maybe Jerry Jones because he played football, but like I don't know if David Tepper is out here saying, yeah, you should take that linebacker over that receiver in the fourth round. Like I don't, like even all of us who we love the game of football, dialed into the game of football. I can speak for myself. I can't make those decisions. I don't know how many owners in the league really truly are qualified to be able to say yes, that's a good decision, or no, that's not a good decision. And again, Amy Adams Strunk has every right to make those decisions. It's her team, but is that what's best for the team?
You know, what's best for the team is to allow the people that you hire to do their job. And, you know, when you believe they're not doing their job, then I think you as an owner have the right to either say, hey, listen, you need to meet me in my office after practice, or hey, Mike. Rand, yeah, Mike, can I talk to you for a minute? Can I come and sit down? I'm sure, Miss Amy, you can have my seat. But I think when things start to go wrong, the owner has the right to come down, especially what we saw this past Sunday with the whole special teams thing. You have a right as an owner, like, okay, what's going on? Because this is not the first time that the special teams has looked dysfunctional. So what's going on?
We were all thinking,
exactly,
what in the world is going
and
on?
And I think you can't, as an owner, as a good owner, you can't watch what you watch this weekend and just dismiss it. As a good owner, you have to watch it and say, you know what? I need to talk to the coach afterwards. Not to fire him, but I need to talk to the coach afterwards, see what's going on. Why does it look this bad? You know, I can understand, you know, things happen, but that was it wasn't just bad. Take bad out of it. It was embarrassing.
It was
truly embarrassing.
And again, it's a human emotion, human nature when you have something like that.
Exactly.
Happens, right.
Absolutely.
It has you even more. It's hard to be Mr. Spock from Star Trek and take that out of it, right? Which is what I was trying to be the other day when I was saying they were ninth going in. They went from 9th to 26th. They weren't that bad before. But when
really
you have
spotty.
A game like that, every other screw-up they had before is coming into your mind. So we got terrible special teams. We got to do something. But that's how human nature is.
Yeah.
Let's get back into some of your phones on this. Chris in Lewisburg, Texan, says, regardless of the hierarchy of the Titans, the team looks like a mess from the outside looking in. I think that's why the hierarchy matters, is knowing of the hierarchy, knowing who's making these decisions and the responsibility, whose shoulder it falls on, because it does feel like things are just a wee bit of a mess.
Yeah, it does. You know those old cartoons where, you know, black and white cartoons usually was like, I don't know, a Bugs Bunny or something, where the fire's going off and everybody's just running around. There's nobody that's really guiding anything. Everybody's running around and they're pouring buckets into buckets, but not really pouring the buckets onto the fire. It's just everybody pouring, because nobody knows exactly what they're doing, you know. And I can understand that from, you know, the fans' view, like, it just seems like nobody knows what's going on. Everybody sees the fire, but nobody knows how to put it out. We got the water over there. We got buckets, but nobody seems to be throwing it on the fire. I can understand why fans think that because of the things that have happened. And then to sort of bring it all together, what happened this past Sunday from a special team standpoint? That made it all look bad. Mm-hmm. That special teams, you know, display made the team look bad. Why? Because what are we talking about now? We're not talking about how well, for the first time, both the offense and defense played together. We're talking about the special teams and how it made it all look bad.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that's what you don't want.
Yeah.
They haven't won two games in a row in a long time. Mm-hmm. That would have been two in a row.
Exactly.
The first time in a long, long time.
Well, the seven and, when they were 7-3, they won what, yeah, six in a row or whatever that was.
It's been
so they lost the first game and then they won six in a row or
something like that. Yeah. Yeah. Didn't they?
Those were the days.
Yeah.
One texter texts in and says, "It's the first rule of money. He who has the money makes the rules," which is true. Mm-hmm. But again, that doesn't always mean that the rules are what's best for the organization. It's the same thing in any organization, in any, you know, business that you might work in. Let's say, you know, you work at the cookie shop. The investors into that cookie shop probably aren't the ones that are making up the recipe for those cookies. Mm-hmm. And if they are, the cookies might not be very good.
Mm-hmm. No, you're right from that standpoint. There are, and I understand what the texter is saying. You know, he who has the money or she who has the money or it who has the money, they make the rules. Yeah, they
it's
do.
True.
But the rules are there in place, and then you hire good people to work within those rules and let them do their job. So, yes, she has the right to do or intervene, you know, anytime she wants to, but she set up parameters, you know, for herself so she doesn't become that meddling owner.
Mm-hmm.
And she, you know, trusts that they can do the job that she has asked them to do, and that's to build a winning team.
We'll hear from Mike Vrabel at the podium coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, we are brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, Mike Vrabel just stepped up to the podium, so we'll send it over to him.
Amen. That's disappointing, but you got to pick yourself back up. You got to, you know, you got to answer the bell, and we have to, you know, nobody's going to feel sorry for us, especially the Dolphins, and it's a very good football team, but we have to get ready and prepare and, you know, a lot of different looks. So there's a lot to cover.
What kind of went into the decision to move on from Monty Rice yesterday?
I think it's just a, you know, it's a process and, a, you know, just didn't work out, and Germani will go on and have another opportunity, and you know, we'll give other guys opportunities here.
I guess Otis getting one of those opportunities, is he done good things for you on the practice?
Yeah, I mean, he did good things since he's been here, and you know, he'll be a guy that'll get some of those looks, and you know, signed, you know, JoJo Doman to see, you know, special teams potentially help us there, and you know, those are things that we'll work through as the week goes on to get the best 48, the right 48.
What did you guys see out of Ty Zentner signing him to the practice squad in terms of maybe him coming up to punt?
Well, athletic, you know, he can kick off, he can punt. Obviously, that's his number one role, will be to punt. You know, I had a bunch of guys in here, and, you know, he did a great job considering the circumstances and the outside and the weather and, you know, the competition, and, you know, excited to work with him.
He a holder as well?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Five years ago today, Derek had his 99-yard run against the Jags. What do you remember about that? And is it crazy that it's already been 5 years since that?
Yeah, I think probably yes. It's been, you know, I would say, yeah, that's crazy to think that that's been 5 years. Just that he's still running. He's still, you know, I think he's getting tackled. He's still running. And I don't. Felt like the play lasted 5 years. So tremendous you know, individual effort. Great job by everybody to get involved early, to get him going. And then, you know, what he did, you know, after that was on his own. So time flies.
Is it right? X-plays, Mike, the challenge of the X-plays, this team is as difficult as anyone trying to defend those?
Well, a lot of speed. You know, they've got, you know, a good scheme and a lot of speed. And you know, the quarterback, Tua, does a fantastic job of being able to distribute the football. And sometimes those X plays are handoffs. Sometimes they're short passes. It's not you know, every single one. I mean, yeah, if you're pressed up on you know, Tyreek, you can guarantee that it's going downtown. But it's not just throw it over your head every time. It's, you know, catch and run. It's good ball placement by the quarterback. You know, and then guys, you know, breaking tackles, and, you know, they lead the league in, you know, missed tackles for. So those things will be critical once they have the ball in their hand.
With that speed being so elite that they have, is that something that you obviously can't simulate it? So how do you, you know, get ready for that? Is it something like you get out there and it's like, oh, I didn't realize that, you know, he was that fast?
Well, we certainly won't be able to, you know, replicate all the speed. I think that, you know, being in the right spots and, you know, being sound and, you know, all those things that'll play into the fact that, you know, once they have the ball in their hand, we're going to need some, you know, we're going to need some extra people, you know, to help and to take great angles and, you know, use your leverage and your help and all those different things that we talk about when tackling.
Does Ryan remain the backup holder, and what's his practice regimen for that now?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've had Gibby snap, you know, as a backup snapper. We've had, you know, Ryan holding at different times, and, you know, I would imagine that Ryan would continue in that regard.
How often do you want him doing that?
In the game, never. You know, I mean, I think making sure that, you know, those things are, you know, we're covering some of those outliers and making sure that, you know, there's a backup at every position, snapper, holder, you know, emergency kicker, you know, quarterback. So, you know, just making sure that those things are, you know, covered, you know, once a week as we go into the game. And, but also, you know, I would say that Ryan was pretty good in his job. That wasn't the reason that you know, it felt like we missed a kick.
Nick made it sound like it wasn't happening once a week heading into that game.
Yeah, no, what I'm saying is whether it did or not, the snap and the hold, Nick missed a kick. Nick's made a lot of kicks, and, you know, I thought Ryan did a really nice job and has done a nice job whenever we've asked him to do that in practice or in the game. So, you know, hopefully we'll be able to execute all those things, and especially on Monday night.
Tom's voice been maybe at the start of the week as you kind of start anew on
special. Yeah, I mean, it's different. I mean, we're in a different situation, but, you know, Tom's got a lot of experience and looking forward to, you know, a great challenge. You know, we'll have to protect our punter. We'll have to check our returner, kicker when we kick the field goals, and, you know, looking forward to that challenge.
What stood out about their pass rush, Miami's, and kind of what has allowed them to have so much success this year?
They go and win, and guys inside, you know, they had a bunch of guys with, you know, with a handful of sacks, 6.5, 7 sacks, you know, each. I mean, sit there and tell you how good Chubb is. Obviously, he's done it for a lot of years. Christian, you know, Wilkins inside. You know, David will blitz. You know, Van Ginkle can rush. He can, you know, do games, execute games very well. So, yeah, they bring it from everywhere, and everybody's producing.
What's the key to that for your offensive line to kind of counter that?
Outside of blocking them, you know, just making sure that we're inside out, making a pocket like it is every week. And if they, you know, sometimes the backs are going to be on linebackers. Like, that's, you know, sometimes that's unavoidable. Like, you have to step up and stay square and not drop our head. You know, there's a lot of examples of guys blocking them, a lot of examples of, you know, guys winning and making a miss.
How has he looked? You know, you see him wrapping up all the tackles. How has he looked from, you know, what you've seen from him?
I mean, David's been active. You know, he runs around. He's, you know, instinctive. He triggers, and you know, we'll have to block him. We'll have to block him if we want to run the football. We'll have to block Baker. We'll have to block, you know, Wilkins and Siler, and, you know, get on their support players, and, you know, hopefully be able to carry over what we did last week.
He was one of the guys you pointed out as a repeat offender with soft tissue injuries. You see him there. He's healthy for pretty much all of the year. Do you ever look at that and just say, like, why is that?
No, I mean, I think, you know, I'm not going to go back. You know, I mean, we just, you guys, yeah, answering questions about injuries, just pointing out that, you know, when you list all the injuries, that some of those guys had to, you know, the same injury. You know, I mean, he came back and had the same injury. You know, I really enjoyed my time with David. I don't think that, you know, loved coaching him. You know, I'm excited to see him. I'm happy for him. Of course, I'm happy for him. He's persevered here and he's gone down and, you know, new opportunity. And they're, you know, so again, we're going to have to block him. And, you know, but I think when you, you know, however it was phrased or said, it was just, it was the same injury. You know what I mean? The guy was trying to come back and had the same injury and, you know, couldn't play. So that was, I guess, the answer to my question, you know, at the time. It's, but we're going to have to block him if we want to gain some yards when we run the ball.
With how explosive the Dolphins offense can be, how important is it for you guys to control the pace and the tempo of the game by having, you know, converting third downs, moving the chains, and not letting their offense have access to the ball?
That would be great. You know, obviously, you know, I mean, if you can possess it and drive it and, you know, be able to do that, you know, Philly, you know, had it for 37 minutes. And again, time of possession, you know, just depends what you do with it. You know, Philly had some mistakes, but they also possessed it, you know, for 37 minutes. And that would be a great place to start if we can be able to convert and drive the football and end those drives and points. Most importantly,
when Will's percentage may be down like it was on Sunday, is there kind of an area there where, like, he may be missing, but he's not missing dangerously? It's not resulting in turnovers.
We want to move the football. You know, I think that, you know, we want to be as accurate and as efficient as possible. And, you know, going back and looking at some of those that, you know, that we missed on, or just, you know, giving guys a chance. And, you know, there's also, you know, a lot of really accurate, you know, good throws. And, you know, we have to help them out, you know, protection and, you know, being available and, you know, being great spots. And then once in a while, you're going to have to make a good catch to help the quarterback out. So it's a full body of work when you talk about, you know, completion percentage.
Doesn't seem like many, though, that have been nearly picked off. Is that a good sign?
Getting into a little bit of your personal space, I feel.
Yeah, he needs to let somebody follow up once in a while.
yeah, certainly you want to keep it out of harm's way. We talked about at Jacksonville. There's been a couple where, you know, we've got to be careful. But, you know, also, you know, if you're going to miss, you got to miss where it's the receiver or nobody. I guess to your question.
Along those lines, have there been plays when you've gone back and watched the film where there was a safer throw he could have made and you'd rather he do that than push it down the field a lot?
Well, we want to push it. You know what I mean? And if it's there, we want to go make a play. But, you know, I think there will always be, you know, those opportunities. We talked about the, you know, mirrored route, and he looked to Hopkins and they stayed on top of Hop and bit on Westbrook. And so – would like to him look right. I mean, I don't, you know, it's how it goes. At least he didn't try to come back and get the ball knocked out of his hands or throw into coverage. He threw it away.
Have you ever seen a special team sequence as crazy as the last time you guys were down there, as far as like back-to-back returns for a touchdown?
Remember Jennings had his?
Yeah, I would like for us to be able to get one and not give up one, or, you know, just focus on being real sound, protecting our kickers, protecting our returners. You know, we're only going to get, you know, one chance, and 85% touchback rate. So just got to make it, you know, if they give us an opportunity to return, we'll have to, you know, try to create some field position and hopefully some momentum. And, you know, but that, you know, that's how it goes sometimes.
How much of an emotional swing is that, right? Because you had Jennings get his, and then Grant got his, and just like.
Well, again, I think one thing we always talk about with special teams is the ability to create some of that momentum and field position. And whether you have it, you have to keep it. And if you don't, trying to find a way to get a punt that gets you back to midfield on the plus side of the field to help the offense. And, you know, they score on you, and, you know, you try to answer. You know, it doesn't always happen, but, you know, those special teams moments, you know, can be great ways to change momentum, keep momentum, you know, in field position.
Coach, I'm curious if you watch the in-season Hard Knocks on the Dolphins, or if that's more cinema than film?
I haven't, and I wouldn't be able to, you know, answer if that's cinema or, you know, I mean, I was a part of Hard Knocks in Houston. They have a job to do, and they try to make it as watchable as possible. And that have you watched it?
Yeah.
And you feel like it's cinema or film?
Cinema.
I'm not sure from your perspective. For me, I feel as though it's cinema.
There you go. Cinema it is.
You're still encouraging regarding Derek?
Sure. Okay. Absolutely.
Coach, having the extra day with Monday Night Football, especially considering all the injuries, just getting an extra day healthy.
Yeah, I don't know if some of the injuries that'll help. But the preparation, we have to be able to use the preparation. You know, it's a longer week, and trying to be smart with how much we do on a speed and how much we show them, and try to alternate days and try to come up with the best plan that's going to help them throughout the week to be prepared and then be ready to play.
Expect to see more Traylon this week and just in terms
hopefully
of reps.
Okay. Yep.
Are you going to be without Christian Fulton for extended time, or what's the?
Yeah, Christian won't practice today. Stoney won't be out there. Wiley won't be out there. Simmons won't be out there. Joe Jones won't be out there.
Mike, how much do you talk to Amy during the season? Is there like a typical schedule for that? And what is her message to you and maybe the football team been during this time?
Well, always supportive. We don't have a set. There's not a set day. You know, I mean, I try to keep her updated. Rand keeps her updated. And when we talk, it's, you know, we're all, you know, frustrated that we're in the position that we're in. And we're all working hard, extremely hard, to figure a way out of it. And so that there's a level of support to what we're trying to do. And always
still have her full belief that this is going the direction she wants it to go.
I've, you know, tried to answer those questions as consistently as possible. I'm focused on the football team, the players, you know, getting them ready. And, you know, that's all I can focus on.
Did you talk to her? Did she talk to you before the Aukerman decision?
We talk regularly.
Did you talk
Thanks, guys.
Before the Aukerman decision?
Did not want to answer that question.
Hit the music.
All right. And with that, I'm
we
out.
We talk regularly.
Yeah.
That was the answer.
Yeah. All right, got it. We'll hear from Will Levis coming up next. Jonathan Hutton in 30 minutes. Caroline Willie DeMays, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.